This investigation corresponds to the chapter in The Logic of Faith that is called Don't Make It a Thing. And I think most of you probably know what it means when somebody says don't make it a thing. Somebody's about to spin out a little bit. They are not able to kind of keep the mind open, and they start to spin, and they take something that's very nuanced and arises due to many causes and conditions and relationships and starts to spin a story. And the story gets very solid and concrete. And a friend will say, don't make it a thing. And that means keep your mind more open, keep your mind more curious. So we have this tendency to singularize things. You know, we see everything in terms of things, an iPhone, a feeling, a belief, a story, an emotion, an idea. But in fact, if you look into any of these things, you might see that they open up into more things. So just to give you an analogy that might be helpful for you, sometimes we want to go for a hike, so we have a map and we drive to the trailhead, and when we get to the trailhead, it's very clear that the trailhead looks nothing like the map. The map is an abstract, a one-dimensional representation of what's actually there. So when you start to walk the trailhead, you notice that things are extremely lively, that it's not one-dimensional or static, it's varied and alive. So, you know, you're walking the trailhead and you see rocks and shrubs and flowers, and you come to a tree, and then you might say that the tree is actually a map for the many aspects of the tree. So, you know, tree as an idea is very one-dimensional. Thoughts have a tendency, the nature of thoughts is like they're snapshots or abstracts of something that's much richer. So if you take a pine cone, for example, you know, then that's a map for, there's all these petals, there's seeds, there's fibers. And if you take any one of those singular things, you see that they're a map that opens up. If you look into them, because they have dimensionality, they have sides, they have a boundary, that can open up, and they're filled themselves with many other things. And you can even look at an atom itself. Atom means, the Greek root for atom is that it can't be broken, but in fact, as long as there is a thing, it can always be broken, and people have broken up atoms and gluons and protons and strings and quarks and all kinds of things continue to come out, because it's actually not just coming out of the thing itself, but it our conceptual mind opens up with the observation of the thing itself, the atom or whatever we're looking at. So in a way, we're looking at, instead of clinging to abstract ideas and labels, we're looking at how phenomena in the mind are really not singular. Our observations are not singular, and the world of the phenomena is not singular either, and that knowing is not about shutting down around an idea of what something is, but to look and allow it to continually open. So I'm bringing this investigation to the idea that we all have things that seem to reoccur, that are uncomfortable, that we don't want to look at, that we haven't really examined carefully. We haven't allowed them to open up, and so they kind of loom over us and seem kind of ominous and unresolved. And they're very important to look at. And I will ask you to kind of isolate or locate a thing that you feel ready to look at. Don't do anything heavy. You know, you could just dip your toe in it first with this. Just experiment. But to look at something, it could be an issue that's going on with you, or just a feeling that's uncomfortable for you that you're very familiar with. We can say that that's your thing for now, and we're going to examine our own things. So I'll ask you to just sit in a comfortable position and close your eyes, and I'll guide you. All you have to do is follow. So when you feel ready, try to identify something in your life that challenges you, or that kind of pokes at you, that rubs you the wrong way, or something that's familiar that reoccurs. It doesn't have to be a heavy thing. It's better to start with something that you feel like you're ready to approach, but perhaps something you'd rather not experience. So when choosing your thing, and this will serve as the object of your investigation, just gently, you know, allow it to come up and expose itself to you. It could be a feeling of jealousy, or it could be a little bit of fear of something, or you don't have to have a story about it or even know what to label it, just something that you know that arises in your experience. And just do it, just find something that you can be very gentle and experiment with. So it could even be stress or feeling of darkness, repulsion, or even a mild feeling of depression. Something that you're working with. So when we isolate it, what we do is we singularize it just like a map. And we know then it's kind of our target or our object of investigation. And understand when you single this thing out, your thing, that it's really this ability to single something out is an expression of your ability to discern. And you can appreciate that. Discernment is such a wonderful resource that we have to be able to single things out and see how they work and have labels and words for them, because this is the way we communicate with each other and we think through things. So we need maps in order to explore the places that we want to go. So now, hopefully, you've found your thing and you have a map. And once you have a map, you can actually venture into the territory of this thing, into the terrain, and see what's there. So now we're going to walk the landscape of this thing and just maybe take note, like if you're an explorer out in the wilderness and you're taking note of what you saw. What do you experience? What do you see? What's the mood or the atmosphere like? And again, it's not about reaching conclusions. It's just the observing mind being able to move with its experience. So it's always, the mind and the experience is always really fluid, even though it seems like we want to hold on to it or grasp it or reach a conclusion. Don't do that. You know, just allow yourself to kind of explore. Like an anthropologist or an archaeologist walking through a new area, a new land. So bring your body first. Let's use the body as part of the territory that we're exploring, because when you're looking at your thing, you might have physical sensations or things come up in your body, because when we have emotions or physical sensations or even concepts, we can't really separate them from our physical body. So just observe how that comes up for you, what you notice. So you might encounter waves of moving or stuck energy. Like if you have fear, where is it? Where do you feel it? If you have, you know, jealousy, where does it express yourself in yourself physically, energetically, in your body? Is there physical contraction or shortness of breath? Do you have tightness in certain areas of your body? Try to describe to yourself any unsettling emotions, heaviness, wild discursive thoughts, judgments. This might come up. That's fine. Just notice. Or you might be surprised to find a lot of lightness, stillness, and many other unexpected things. And when you look at any of these things, so to speak, for example, a feeling of tightness or a feeling of lightness, see, can you find anything singular there at all? So look in and see, do you see a boundary, first of all, around this thing? Can you find a boundary, a parameter around this physical sensation? And when you look inside this kind of probably elusive, amorphous boundary. What do you find? Is it made of many other different sensations or physical or energetic feelings? And when you find these other varied, changing, singular things within the boundary of that, just look at any one of those singular things and see how that opens up into more experience. So before we continue, I want to remind you that analysis means to loosen, and that the purpose of the practice in this case is to loosen or crack open assumptions you have regarding the singularity or thingness of your object by observing its parts or aspects. So you look at any one thing and let it open and express itself freely, and it will reveal itself to you many other amazing, rich experiences. Sometimes we identify strongly with our thing, you know, our habit or our tendency. So you might see yourself as the one with the physical pain or depression, or identify someone else as the source of your thing. So look at these labels and see if you or anyone else is singular, or you can find multiple aspects of yourself or someone else. So for example, you know, your thing might lead you to a cause. What caused this? You know, begin to see, is there ever any singular cause, or many, the singular cause that you identify, see how that's also amorphous and how it keeps changing and how you keep experiencing things differently and how different thoughts arise and how you're able to have, you know, kind of notice and open up into a more interdependent understanding of what that thing is. In other words, we're moving out of singularity into this kind of rich and changing world full of specifics that in and of themselves open up into more experience. Things keep opening and opening. Singular into multiple, singular into multiple. And you can look into the thoughts themselves. What you think is a thought, is it really singular, or is it made of moments and opens up into other very kind of minute, specific moments of thought? Can you even pin down a singular thing? Or the minute you look at it, does it open up into other things, other experiences? Thoughts are just maps, but when you walk the terrain, when you walk the territory, you find so much more experience. And the experience is not just mental, but it's also there's sensation, energetic expression, visual imagery, emotion, sensory experiences of all kinds. Again, look into any physical sensation and see if you can find a boundary. Walk the territory of your experience. Don't just shut down around a singular idea. So when you feel ready, take a moment to reflect on your discoveries. Did you find a singular thing? What did you encounter when you were walking the territory? Could you find anything not composed of parts? And if you found parts, were the parts singular, or did they possess some kind of open, expressive, multiple, rich expression? Did they open up into more parts, more experience? Could you find a one thing that wasn't made of other things. It's a little bit like opening up in an interview. You start with a topic, and as the discussion continues, it just keeps opening and opening and opening into all kinds of interesting topics and takes interesting directions and reveals, you know, someone's life and experience and the human condition and in ways that we never would anticipate. So looking and not finding a singular thing is not a denial of experience. It's just a way of seeing that experience may not be what you assume it to be. And if you can avoid or find a way not to make experience a thing, you'll feel more relaxed and spacious around what you encounter. But we need to see the nature of things directly, that we can't find a singular thing. It's very important to have this direct experience, which is why we do this meditation. So again, bring your awareness back to your breath.